What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Bring in show music, please.
Hi, I'm CNBC producer Katie Kramer. Today on Squawk Pod. His Tesla pay package revoked, an SEC testimony requested, Elon Musk is facing multiple legal threats. We'll hear from his biographer, Walter Isaacson.
He feels it's coordinated, that the whole administration, everybody's coming at him for political reasons.
And Super Bowl 58 in the books.
It was crazy.
The lows, the highs.
I heard it went into extra innings.
And the big business of the big game.
How many baskets do they make?
Yeah, exactly.
How effective were the very expensive TV commercials? Ad tracking company EDO's Kevin Krim.
A tight game like that will keep an audience there and will keep them engaged with the ad breaks as well. So it was a win-win for everyone.
Plus, the Senate's rare Sunday session on a foreign aid funding bill. And President Biden's Super Bowl message on snack shrinkflation.
Okay, yeah, I'm really going to add some more chips back into the Tostitos bag.
It's Monday, February 12th, 2024. Squawk Pod begins right now.
Stand Becky by in 3, 2, 1, cue, please.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Squawk Box right here on CNBC. We're live at the Nasdaq Market Site in Times Square. I'm Becky Quick, along with Joe Kernan and Andrew Ross Sorkin. Yeah, we're all here, even after the Super Bowl. Everybody dragging ourselves in. We hope you're up watching from bed.
You saw. There was at the Usher concert, there was a football game. Did you see that?
Not only did I
it was
hear
crazy.
That, I heard that.
And you heard
and
it.
I heard it went into extra innings.
It did. It did. they had to play another. No. Yeah, it did go in. And it is kind of cool because the rules are different. It's like a new game. And as we got close to, did you watch? It was 15 minutes, and it was like, oh, my God, there's no time. There's as much time as it would have taken.
Yeah.
You can, so,
I was in bed, and I saw that they were the three-point difference between before they went into overtime.
Apparently, the president and I were both up watching.
Past tweeting. Your bedtimes?
Yeah, and I didn't tweet. Yeah, I did not tweet. I don't really think the president tweeted. I don't know. It scares me. Because there is someone behind all this, I think, like behind the curtain. And I don't know who it is. I know they had a rough week last week. Maybe should get fired, but there is someone. Let's talk. Patrick Mahomes led a winning scoring drive for Kansas City in overtime. If there was ever any doubt about that guy and his legs and his heart. Clinching their third Super Bowl in 5 years. That's two straight. That was his third MVP as far as honors go. The Chiefs are the first back-to-back Super Bowl winners since the 2004-2005 New England Patriots. And then afterwards, you heard Travis Swift talking about how he doesn't... He wants a three-peat. He says that's been the plan all along, is a three-peat. The two is not gonna do it. It was amazing. It was an amazing game. I had so many bets. That's what you shouldn't do.
Did you make or lose money in the end?
In the end, I think I broke even because I had, depending on whether George Kittle got over 40 yards, I would have won. I needed McCaffrey to score a touchdown, which he did, but Kittle didn't. Then I also needed Pacheco to score a touchdown on the other side and the Chiefs to win, and that didn't happen.
How many baskets do they make?
Yeah, exactly. It's how many three-pointers. It's how many. There are three-pointers.
They're called a field goal.
You know, they missed an extra point. The whole game could have been different without that extra point. And
any home runs?
So I was torn because I have some bad history with the 49ers, although I kind of was because of the Bengals. And I like AFC team. Yeah, terrible things. They inflicted terrible pain on Cincinnati fans in the past, long ago. But then again, I really like Brock Purdy. But I like
too.
Them all.
Brock Purdy, though. The idea that he did that, making as little money as he
last guy in the draft, no, number 262. No, it was
good showing for him.
I was telling Becky and makeup Andrew, I'll be in there and the commercials come on and I'll start doing this and they go, whoa, wait, I'm supposed to be watching.
I'm supposed to be,
but I can't. Every single time a commercial comes on, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go take a, you know, take a break. And then I remember I'm supposed to be watching these things. Did you like any of them? I thought they were average, maybe. Any
Duncan.
Good? Duncan was pretty good with Ben Affleck and Matt.
I never know how
Tom
to pronounce
Brady.
It. I never know how to
Dr.
pronounce
Rumstick?
It. But the moisturizer.
Oh, CeraVe.
Michael Cera. That was kind of funny.
Hilarious.
You didn't realize it was a commercial, but the Geico caveman was interviewed by Boomer Esiason. It was hilarious. It was the funniest thing. And he got mad again because they brought up that he was a caveman again. And then they called.
I have to say that maybe Todd Combs, who has been running Geico, who brought it back potentially. That was
greatest,
a smart idea.
Greatest. And I actually looked it up this morning to see what the actor actually looked like. Because we were wondering. I mean, the makeup is so amazing. He looks so much like a caveman. He doesn't really look like that. You knew that?
I did not.
No, he doesn't. Sure. I thought that was him. I thought they found an actor that looked like him.
I thought Bob Kraft's Stop Jewish Hate ad was awesome.
That was
pretty great. I didn't see, but had read about these ads, which I was actually surprised
the
about.
The one where the guy had paint on his boots? That one?
Well, yes. No,
that was awesome.
That was awesome.
That was great.
And there was another one, apparently, there was a Boycott Tesla ad, which I did not see.
I didn't see
a lot of the ads, though. I was a little busy.
Was Usher's mic screwed up at the beginning? I think it was. There was some.
I didn't know what was going on. And it was very short, this halftime show. Much shorter. It felt shorter than normal to me.
Well, don't they make the musicians?
And I did watch. I know you guys think I'm watching basketball or baseball.
No, we thought you're watching the commercials and watching the halftime stuff like that. You saw Travis Kelce all over the coach, right, Andy?
Yeah, what was he yelling at him for?
I think he was very upset.
That he wasn't in. And some people were making a big deal of it, that, you know, if someone did that in high school or college, they'd have to, you know, give me 50, get down. But he's so, I mean, that just shows how competitive he is. And you know what? I know Mahomes won the MVP, but it could have easily been Kelce. I mean, he did some amazing stuff. And, you know, one last thing, and we got to go. But it reminded me of the Bengals' last appearance. And there were a couple of times where they needed to go, like when they got a field goal on the 4-yard line, they needed to go for it there. Yeah. They needed to go for it there. They really needed to do that. And in the possession that they had,
in
overtime,
they had to keep them in the game.
I know,
and
but
getting the,
I, know,
getting
I, could,
the
I watched
the board,
it happening, and I knew what was going to happen.
But
I knew
the outcome. The only reason that they could.
But I knew the outcome was going to be: you give Mahomes any time at all. You know, and he can easily get a field goal. And they got a touchdown, no problem.
Our friends abroad are watching closely how we vote in the upcoming days. Ukrainian fighters are watching. And you can be sure Vladimir Putin is watching the Senate, too.
Meantime, yesterday, the Senate voting to move forward with a $95 billion aid package to fund Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. 67 senators voted to advance that bill, a full vote expected this week. Now, this bill is a stripped down version, I should say, of the one proposed last week. That was voted down by Republicans over border provisions. Those border provisions were stripped out of this bill. President Biden chose to skip the traditional Super Bowl interview. This is now the second straight year he did that. Instead, he posted a produced video on X calling on companies to stop shrinkflation. That's the practice of reducing the amount of product in a package while keeping the price steady. Take a look.
Sports drinks bottles are smaller. A bag of chips has fewer chips, but they're still charging it just as much. And as an ice cream lover, what makes me the most angry is that ice cream cartons have actually shrunk in size, but not in price. I've had enough of what they call shrinkflation. It's a ripoff. Some companies are trying to pull a fast one by shrinking the products little by little and hoping you won't notice. Give me a break.
I don't know. It didn't work for me. I'll be honest, because the truth is, A, this has been going on forever, and B, the flip side of shrinkflation is inflation.
It's not even the flip
side. It's going to cost you more.
It's the same thing. It ends inflation.
Here we are, and I think most people get that. And by the way, that doesn't mean that people aren't frustrated by it, and they should be frustrated by it, but
it's a manifestation of the same thing as higher prices.
To
to do the sort of get off my lawn, I'm upset
it's
kind of thing. I don't know if it works, because I don't also know if scolding the businesses I don't think if you're a business leader watching that ad, you're like, okay, yeah, I'm really going to add some more chips back into the Tostitos bag.
When I was an intern in Congress, I used to take the calls. There's an 800 line.
Right.
Constituents.
People called you with these complaints.
People would call in, and it was your job as the intern to sit there and say, "Yes, sir, I understand."
I'd be curious how that polled.
I don't think it polled, but
we're back to. Was that? I don't think there's someone behind the curtain with some of this. And there, the other thing that happened later, the laser eyes and it worked perfectly according to plan, just sort of needling the conspiracy theorists, you know, that said the Chiefs were going to win all along because Taylor Swift's events again. I mean, that was funny to bring that out.
Right.
So there's some. You know, smart people behind the scenes, but there's other people where he's getting really bad advice, I think. And that one was...
How does that advice compare to the comments that former President Trump made about NATO over the weekend?
He's just wacky. Wacky and
wacky?
Wild.
You think wacky and wild?
He's mad that they don't pay enough. And he's saying, okay, you deserve to... Yeah, it's the
that's
same.
Insane.
Yeah,
say
it's like saying I can shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and not get in trouble. Insane.
But that's the point. You could have all the... President Biden could be making... comments about shrinkflation, and we're being critical of that.
But here it is.
Well, these other things, it's like a whole other league of what we're talking about.
Well, and the Nikki Haley stuff is crazy, too.
We're not going to defend you if you don't pay it. We're going to, he said he would actually encourage
Russia to go ahead.
No, he says they deserve it if they don't pay. We're not going to defend them. Right. Well, let's see what he said. Former President Trump making headlines for his comments at a rally in South Carolina on Saturday, suggesting that the U.S. would not stand by its NATO allies if they didn't pitch in enough for defense.
And I made a speech and I said, you got to pay up. They asked me that question. One of the presidents of a big country stood up and said, well, sir, if we don't pay and we're attacked by Russia, will you protect us? I said, you didn't pay? You're delinquent? He said, yes, let's say that happened. No, I would not protect you. In fact, I would encourage them to do whatever the hell they want. You got to pay. You got to pay your bills.
The comment sparked criticism from the White House, NATO officials.
It sparked criticism from everybody. Come on.
Do you think, when he said you think the vice president should be hanged, you go, maybe he should be hanged. None of that stuff. It's just ridiculous crap.
Have to believe.
You've had 100 of these moments over the past when he was president. You had 100 of these moments your hair is on fire and it just ends and it's gone and no one takes it seriously.
No, it's the opposite, actually, because don't you remember? He said he was going to build a wall. Everybody said that was fake. Then everyone said, oh, he's doing it. You have to believe what he says. Now then you say you're not supposed to believe what he says.
Well, of course.
Come on. When people compare what's going on with the Biden campaign, whether you think there's, people behind him who are propping him up or he's not even with it or whatever it is, compared to that, it's a whole different. That's when people talk about sort of existential crisis for the country.
I don't think it's comparable at all. 86% of people in this country thinks he's too old. I don't think he's going to be the nominee anymore. I think Gavin Newsom is waiting in the wings, and that's got to happen. You can't possibly run this guy. You can't. And it's becoming clear to everyone that there's just no way. Now they're. They put everyone out to talk about this her guy and saying he's a bad guy, he's a Trump appointee, don't listen to what he says. And you actually have people like Mayorkas and the vice president saying, oh, my God, he's like the sharpest mind. You better be prepared.
I'm not saying it's going too far.
I'm saying that it's not going to work. So we got problems on both sides. But, when he says I can shoot someone on Fifth Avenue or when he says... He says crazy stuff. When Hillary's against the Second Amendment. Right. Well, we'll see what people think about it. He says crazy stuff.
Right, and then January 6th happened. Yeah, he says crazy stuff, and then January 6th. And this is why it's a... And by the way, when you start talking about your allies, this is... In Europe this morning, They're playing that tape on every show in the world, and they're saying to themselves, is this country with us or not? And
there was already the question about NATO. He's been saying this stuff about NATO the entire, and I'm not, they're indefensible comments, but they're not serious. They're not serious. It's bombast. It's vintage Trump BS.
There's only one thing that the majority of Americans agree on right now, and that's that they don't want either of these candidates for their next
election. You saw betting odds.
It's the only thing where you actually see a majority of Americans.
I think Biden's the seven, now it's down to, I forget what the percentage is of him actually being the nominee. It's no longer, it used to be 99%. I think it's going to be Gavin Newsom. I do.
I don't know.
Don't you?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I don't know either.
Cheese will be next.
Coming up, the many legal wranglings of Elon Musk. A judge ordering the world's richest man to testify in an SEC probe about his acquisition of Twitter. Musk versus longtime corporate haven, Delaware. And a rescission of his $56 billion Tesla pay package. Elon Musk is in the hot seat. His biographer, Walter Isaacson, right here when Squawk Pod is back.
I can't see how you take the guy's compensation 5 years after it's been granted and say, oh no, the deal that 75% of stockholders made, we're just gonna revoke that.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
This is Squawk Pod from CNBC, and we're sticking with two of our favorite topics, the Super Bowl and someone who was at the Super Bowl, Elon Musk.
Stand by, Joe. His mic, cue.
Good morning and welcome back to Squawk Box here on CNBC. We're live from the NASDAQ market site in Times Square. I'm Joe Kernan, along with Becky Quick and Andrew Ross Sorkin. Not a whole lot happening so far at the beginning of this week because it's not necessarily a hangover, but people were up late. Maybe it's a food. The day after the Super Bowl.
A little food coma situation?
Food coma.
It's a lack of sleep coma.
Lack of sleep.
I think it's a carb situation.
Carb?
No, we're at the deep Mardi Gras.
It's a lot of things.
Walter Isaacson's here.
Walter Isaacson's here.
Mardi Gras is happening, man.
Mardi Gras is happening. Did you have any wine last night or any alcohol? Okay, so did I.
I had none. Do you know what Levain cookies are? Do you know what a Levain cookie is?
I'm willing to learn.
Oh, it's the greatest. And I ate a lot of them.
You did?
Yeah. I mean, so many that it's probably like drinking a lot of wine.
Football-shaped cookies and a homemade seven-layer dip. I mean, who doesn't like a... You think eight would be better? You think you could get enough flavor with seven?
What would be the extra layer? Ketchup?
You can't. I don't know.
I can't think of another layer to put in
almost anything in there.
You already got avocado, sour cream, bean dip,
homemade refried beans, and cheese.
And
salsa.
And some chives on top, probably, salsa. Anyway, a U.S. judge ordering Elon Musk to testify in an SEC investigation into his 2022 purchase of Twitter. That ruling coming over the weekend. The SEC is investigating whether Musk or anyone else committed securities fraud as Musk began buying stock in Twitter ahead of his leveraged buyout of the social media company. Joining us right now to talk about this and all things Musk is Musk's biographer, Walter Isaacson, who also is a CNBC contributor. Walter, I don't even know if we should start with this SEC case or wrap it into the Delaware case where the judge
well, he's
decided.
He's incoming missiles from all
yep.
sides.
Yeah.
And one question is, he feels it's coordinated, that the whole administration, everybody's coming at him for political reasons. I don't think that's true. I don't think there's some top-down Biden administration, let's do this and this. But I do think you got regulators in all sorts of places that generally feel, hey, I can do well by taking on Musk. They tend to not be politically aligned with him. They're part of bureaucracies. And he's got a lot of incoming missiles. This SEC one is basically about how well did he report when he started buying Twitter shares back in 2022. And you know what? It wasn't as if he had the world's greatest reporting standard saying, okay, I've reached this percentage.
And it said all along he was going to be a passive investor with some of those things.
You know what? I mean, this is Musk. Yeah. I was there. It's chronicled in the book day by day. He's there being a passive investor. Suddenly he's flying to Hawaii to borrow Larry Ellison's house. He gets mad at Parag Agrawal and the other things. He changes his mind. Changes his mind four or five times. We can see it over a weekend, both in Hawaii and up in Vancouver. So when the SEC says, were you a passive investor or not, you know.
You saw it in action. There was reason that he could have very well have been well-intentioned and truthful when he was making those statements on it.
Well, it's also true that if you've watched him, he can change his mind.
Quickly.
Walter, if you're Elon Musk and you have an EV, you know, you invite all the EV makers, and you don't invite
Tesla.
That's the probably the most absurd, ludicrous thing. There's no way to explain that.
It really got him mad, and it still.
But
gets
how do you explain
mad.
It? How do you explain
and
it? How do you explain it?
Especially when
unions
Biden,
is how you can explain
yeah.
it. I'm not saying it's right.
No,
I'm not saying it's about saying that's the rationalization.
Okay, and then Twitter. Okay, Twitter was a de facto arm of the Biden administration in the DNC, and suddenly he comes in and totally pulls the rug out from all the liberals that love to have their own news arm. That's not going to make people happy either. I know you don't think that's true.
I don't think that's
exactly
totally true, but...
Why not? You couldn't say anything on the old Twitter.
I think that the old Twitter did a whole lot of being politically correct and woke and stopping certain types of speech.
Stuff
I don't
we,
think
stuff
it was
that
a whole...
we could have used. Stuff
including
that we could have used about
things
COVID,
on COVID and lab leaks. I agree with you totally.
Lab leaks
but I don't know that
laptops and everything else.
Right. And you saw that in many newspapers. You saw that maybe even in this network some. And it wasn't because you were wholly owned by the DNC. It's because we kept too narrow the things we got to debate. And it was wrong.
Okay.
So I want to go back, though, to some of the Delaware stuff. And I'm curious what you think of the compensation situation.
I find that baffling. I mean, you're quoted in my book when they give out that compensation
yep.
package saying this is a real stretch. If he can pull this off, it will amaze people. If he can get through, I think there were five or six targets,
both on market cap, but more importantly, I would argue, operationally.
Right. How many could put out,
right.
how much revenues, how much market
yep.
cap. You had to go through all of these
games.
And then
you had to hold it for 5 years, too.
Do it for 5 years. And he gets nothing except if he goes through
right.
these things. And he says, okay, I take the bet. 2017, going into 2018, the whole place seems to be going bankrupt. People like yourself are saying, no way it seems that he will get to these goals.
Yep.
He takes it, he does it, they pay him. I cannot imagine how a Delaware Chancery Court judge,
right.
I guess it is, could say, all right, do over, you don't get the money.
What's the next step? What happens?
It can go to
this?
The Delaware Supreme Court. I assume, and you've seen it in the Wall Street Journal today, I assume that Tesla and other companies like his will pull out of Delaware because you can't trust it now. And you see Nevada making a big run
Nevada.
To
and
say.
Texas.
And Texas.
Vada.
Well, yeah, Nevada is where.
Nevada.
Joe has a thing about the pronunciation of the
ask
word
anyone
Nevada.
Who's from there. Ask anyone who's from there.
How do you pronounce my home state?
Where?
Louisiana.
Missouri.
Illinois.
But getting back to it,
right.
You know, I've tried to be objective in my book. I see all the things. I can see why people are furious at him. I can't see how you take the guy's compensation 5 years after it's been granted and say, oh, no, the deal that 75% of stockholders made, we're just going to revoke that and take the money away.
I mean, it's bizarre. Even the purchase of Twitter and other things along the way. Like, what? It's crazy how it's all tied up in this decision.
And if you read, I think there are more than 200 pages. I read, of course, the thing. It was, I don't want to go too far here, but it was somewhat politically tendentious. You know, does the world's richest man need to, as opposed to the law says that.
This is what he was granted.
Yeah.
Right.
And look, to me at least, I don't know if you agree.
And shareholders voted on it. That was the.
So overwhelmingly.
Really, but if you look through that decision, they're claiming that effectively that independent board isn't so independent, which, by the way,
that has an odious smell.
May very well be true. Right? It may not be as independent, and they may not have taken, may not have negotiated as hard as they should have. I think we could probably all agree that that's the case. Having said that, there's this idea that because they were this independent board and they endorsed it, that the shareholders agreed to the deal because they endorsed it, meaning that this misrepresent. The argument is that effectively this independent board misrepresented themselves as being independent, and therefore
there was no major shareholder looking at Kimball Musk and other people on the board.
I agree with you. I'm just saying that
they could look at that deal, and they could read about it in the deal book column of the New York Times. It had it exactly right. And they say, here's how we voted. And even if there was some, you know, non-independence on the board, you can go in then and say, wait a minute, this doesn't smell right. But to go in after he's accomplished every single one of, or almost every single one of those goals, gotten the money, use it to buy, then say, no, we think 5 years ago I was wrong. It's ridiculous.
So you think the Delaware Supreme Court would overrule it?
I think it should. I'm not a great predictor of Supreme Courts and states, but I can't imagine the Delaware Supreme Court wouldn't overrule it. And by the way, it's going to hurt Delaware if it doesn't, because people say, wait, you mean 5 years after something happens, 8 years
you
after something happens, you'll go back and undo it?
My other question, if Elon thinks that this is all coordinated and coming from top down, does he think his problems will go away if Biden loses and Donald Trump wins?
Well, he wants Biden to lose now because he does feel that, as Joe said, it begins with having all the EV makers to the White House and then saying to Mary Barra, you're leading the way into EVs. Right. And Mary Barra's GM has made like 26 and they weren't even making them at the moment. And he's made 1.2 million that year. I think he feels there's just a concerted effort to get him. I don't think he likes Donald Trump either. And I think he's been flailing around from the DeSantis to Bobby Kennedy Jr. to Vivek. I think he feels confused about this election, as do maybe some other people.
What do you think does happen with the SEC? Do you think that does change in a different administration, or do you think that proceeds? I know it's guesswork.
The SEC, look, I'm the opposite of conspiracy theorists who think that there's people with puppet strings that make the agencies do what they want. I don't think Merrick Garland had puppet strings on him when he did what he wanted. I think the SEC is an independent agency. I think it believed what it said. But surely if there's a new administration, you're going to have different people on the SEC.
Yeah.
And they won't be the type of people who come in an administration like this searching for monsters to destroy.
Right. All right. Walter, thank you for enlightening us, because this all seems to dominate the headlines again and again.
Well, it's always fun to be with y'all.
Next on Squawk Pod, Duncan, Poppy, Volkswagen, Michelob, Temu, or Temu? What was your favorite Super Bowl ad? EDO CEO Kevin Krim joins us.
We saw nostalgia. We saw AI themes, some actual AI products from Google and Microsoft. We saw more soda, less beer and liquor, and we saw the foreign automakers step in for the domestic.
From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve.
With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
You're listening to Squawk Pod. Here's Joe Kernan.
Last night's Super Bowl was a big win for the Kansas City Chiefs and for advertisers. Let's find out which ads got the most viewer engagement online. Joining us now is Kevin Krim, EDO President and CEO. Taylor, thank you. Thank you, God, for Taylor and Travis.
The NFL would like to thank Taylor Swift.
I saw pictures of Roger Goodell talking to her, saying, let's talk about next year.
Yeah.
And the terms of your deal.
Yeah, exactly.
For next year. It's going to be... Did advertisers know it was going to be the biggest, probably the biggest event in TV history, but for 7 million, 30 seconds a month?
We'll see the numbers when they finally come out from Nielsen, but I think a smart advertiser, seeing how the season started, they were able to make the bet that this Super Bowl was going to be a great one. Obviously, they got an extra bonus when the Chiefs got into the game, and therefore we knew Taylor Swift would be
there.
Well,
they won last year, too, and everybody wanted the 49. It was like it was a perfect storm.
And it was a great game. That matters. To keep the audience engaged through the whole game is good for business. What we see at EDO, when we see how consumers engage with both the programming and the ads, a tight game like that will keep an audience there, and we'll keep them engaged with the ad breaks as well. So it was a win-win for everyone.
Okay, so tell us what you thought were the highlights.
Not surprisingly, we saw big new movies, big blockbuster movies perform well in this data. Our top performing ad was Deadpool 3 that was advertised. We also saw the Wicked, the film version of Wicked, that's going to not come out until Thanksgiving.
By the way, engagement just being somebody looks it up on the internet. Then.
Somebody goes and either searches or goes to a website, finds more information.
But is it based on the kind of thing it is? Like, I want to go see that movie. If I saw that Dunkin' ad, which I thought was awesome, but
right,
I don't
I'm
know if I'm rushing Dunkin'. To the Dunkin' website in that moment because there's nothing to do. Next time I see Dunkin', maybe I'll feel better about it.
What brand marketers are always trying to do is drive that consideration, first awareness, and the Super Bowl is the best place to drive awareness in any media option that they have in the 21st century. They're also trying to drive consideration and intent. And what you get from a great Super Bowl creative is all three of those things.
I mean, because Dunkin' buys cachet, right?
Right.
They buy cachet with this.
And Dunkin' was not in our top five, but it was in our top 20. Very strong ad. There's an element of nostalgia in a lot of these top performing spots.
I got one that I can't figure out. So I love Apple, as you know.
Yes.
And they sponsor the halftime show.
Yep.
And yet, even though it says Apple on it, you almost don't know it's Apple. At the end, they put up the QR code that said, get your 3 months free, I think, or something like that. Did that work?
There was also a strong logo in the bottom right corner that kept shimmering and vibrating with the music. They've had a signature kind of red theme to last year's halftime show and this year's halftime show.
But is that working for them? When they look a month later, they're saying, oh my goodness, we got a huge uptick in folks using this over Spotify or signing up.
We're only 2 years into this, but when we studied it for PepsiCo for the last however many years that they had the halftime show prior to Apple, we saw that it paid off economically. It was a strong economic trade relative to... it was reported it was in that 50 million sort of range. And what we found is that if you create sort of if you equalize for what it would cost to buy that equivalent amount of ads, that halftime sponsor is getting more than 50 million in value in terms of that consumer engagement.
Man.
Those predictive behaviors that are
going to lead to sales. I just thought it was interesting because they did have the QR code and we saw very few QR codes this time.
We did. We saw nostalgia. We saw AI themes, some actual AI products from Google and Microsoft. We saw more soda, less beer and liquor. We saw the foreign automakers step in for the domestics.
What's the moisturizer? CeraVe?
CeraVe.
right? That's going to be, if I go to CVS, can I now, they're going to sell out? I mean, what's going to happen here?
I like that hat very much. It was only an average performer in our data in terms of what it drove. Yeah. I don't know if Michael Cera had enough name recognition for that large of an audience
to drive it. And,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I still watch if I can see it. I don't think probably never get old. What else?
And then Temu was an interesting one.
That was weird.
There were three or four.
Six ads in total between pregame all the way through to postgame.
Expensive.
Very expensive investment. They were a first-time advertiser last year. They performed, again, well in our data this year and in last year.
Yeah, but that's because people are like, what the heck is Temu?
Right. And this year they pronounced it in the ad, and a lot of people were surprised that I'd been saying Temu. It's Temu, according to the ads that we saw last night.
Spent all that money and it still didn't rub off on me.
What's interesting is it engages people. It's what is it? But it was one of the most downloaded apps all of last year, according to Apple and to Google in their various app stores. So that's one of those examples where the advertising can be effective even if we're not sitting there reviewing it at home as one of our favorite ads.
But that's the only thing about still going back to the brand engagement and how you measure it. I mean, different brands are looking for different things. If you're an unknown, you're going to get searched the most.
Yep.
Like Poppy. Did you see that?
Huh.
P-O-P-P-I.
Yeah, it's a soda.
You said
it's
that was good. I'm not convinced 5 years from now no one's going to.
No Poppy?
Well,
I don't know.
If you're Poppy, Poppy's an independent soda company founded by a husband and wife pair in Austin, Texas.
Yep.
It's $2 a can of that soda. The margins on that are going to be incredible. If you've got now 120 million or more people thinking I should try a Poppy and see what it's like, that's going to be a good ROI.
I think I've tried a Poppy. I think they're good. I don't remember.
Feels like mainstreaming kombucha, I think. That was my takeaway.
I saw 5 grams of carb. I mean, there is sugar.
There's a little bit of sugar.
A little bit of sugar.
It's busy. There's probiotics,
a big probiotics.
Oh, I could use those.
You could use some of those.
Especially the morning after.
Just the morning after the Super Bowl snacks.
Yeah.
Just in general. Yeah. No, just in, I don't know. I think I could. I don't know if it would work. I need something. Kevin, nothing like the Super Bowl, though. Is there anything
great
else?
Great game.
That many, we've got 15 seconds.
I mean, we've got the Summer Olympics coming. Okay, I mean, that is another truly mainstream event. It's not all at once. It's
very
spread out over 3 weeks.
Thanks for mentioning that.
Paris Olympics.
On the NBC stations. There you go.
Including the streaming.
Yep.
Right. Property Peacock.
Yep. Thanks, Kevin.
Kevin, thank you.
That's Squawk Pod for today, this Monday. Thanks for starting your week with us here. We appreciate it. We love having you. Squawk Box is hosted by Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin. Tune in weekday mornings on CNBC at 6 Eastern, and you can get the smartest takes and analysis from our TV show right into your ears when you follow Squawk Pod wherever you listen to podcasts. Have a great Monday, and we'll meet you right back here tomorrow.
We are clear. Thanks, guys.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.